Hey, good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing really well. I wonder if I'm not doing better than y'all are there, though. Pretty tense, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little. You are doing better. It is a little tense. Obviously, you know, the clock is ticking. The vote's very close in the House. We expect to know something here within the next several hours. And, you know, as usual, people have strong opinions about something this serious. And all in all, that's pretty healthy.
A lot of people have compared this to the big vote on the TARP, on the bank bailout back in 2008. Does it feel like that there?
You know, no, it doesn't. From the standpoint of there, it was absolutely uncertain territory. The market and global market was just going crazy. Here, we've been through debt ceiling increases before. And on the Republican side, we all really are unified that we want serious cuts to the federal budget. We want reforms so that you can restrain spending by Congress in the future, and you want some movement on either a balanced budget amendment or on entitlement reform. It's just that we've got everyone's got a different view of what mix of that should be, and that's sort of where we are right now. We have some holdouts who want more cuts up front. We have some others who really are convinced we need a balanced budget amendment first before anything else happens. Then, of course, we have a few who think we go too far. And so it's just putting all those pieces together.
Hey, you know, we have had lots of debt ceiling increases in the past. Of course, in the past, it's been referred to sort of as a housekeeping item, though. We did hear some former aides to President Bush say that. I wonder if it's not fundamentally different because we just haven't pushed it to the line like this before. In fact, if you asked average Americans before now, you know, before this whole showdown, they wouldn't even know what an increase in the debt ceiling was.
Yeah, and you know, and I think part of that too, and you hit that on the head, is that here right now it has fundamentally changed. We're so deep in debt as a nation, and adding you know $1 trillion a year, it's now threatened our financial solvency as a country, how we're viewed by investors both here and abroad, and the fact that these deficits go as far as I can see. So I think it's good we're having this showdown on the debt ceiling. No question.
You know, you do have those people you're trying to round up. As you say, you've got a lot of these folks who have been described as Tea Party Republicans who say, and some of them say that they just won't go along with this and almost won't go along with it no matter what, with some of them, not all, of course. But you do have this difference, I think, between a problem, which you're laying out, which is this huge debt and deficit issue that we have, versus a crisis. Are they pushing a problem into an unnecessary crisis area?
No, I don't think so. I'll tell you, right now, a majority, a vast majority, the Tea Party freshmen are supporting the Boehner bill. So are the vast majority, really, of the Tea Party members of the House and of House conservatives, where we are. And I'll tell you, our freshman class, many of them Tea Party freshmen, they are serious lawmakers. They take this August 2nd date very serious. They take even more seriously the thought of downgrading America's credit rating, which is has huge implications for everyone, for you and me, every family and business in Texas and the country. But they just come to arrive at some different decisions about whether this is the right path forward. So everyone's taking it seriously. We just got some work to do.
Okay, now I know that, so I'm going to try to preempt this. I know that the politician's answer is to say it's not going to happen. So let me take that off the table. What happens if we don't meet this deadline and there is the potential of a default?
You know, I was going to answer honestly. I don't believe it.
I wanted to give you a hypothetical.
Yeah, I know, Scott. You're always about two steps ahead of me anyway, so I'm not surprised. Here's the deal: after August 2nd, you go basically into cash flow as a country, and we're, you know, which means you have cash flow for about 2/3 of what we're spending. But that cash flow varies a lot, not just month to month, but day by day. August, for example, you only have cash flow for about half of government in August. Mm-hmm. And that varies by day. So you can pay. There's no question you don't default. You'll pay the interest on any of our securities first, Social Security, Medicare second, of course, military, our defense third. But with half the money coming in, you don't even have enough money for all of your defense, nor the rest of government. So you got to prioritize as a nation about 80 million bills coming in this month. Mm-hmm. Decide what's important, what's not. And meanwhile, you've got whatever turmoil. I can't predict the market. I don't know what investors do. I don't know what bondholders do.
You seem real nervous.
My theory is, look, not much good happens after August 2nd. Whatever it is, I don't see good scenarios, and I think that's for the economy why everyone's pretty serious. If it's August 3rd or August 4th, you know, the date may vary by a week, but yeah, I don't see good consequences.
All right, well, we will continue to track how this is playing out. Congressman Kevin Brady, as always, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.